Of the 14,388 different words found in the Bible, the sweetest word other than the name Jesus is the word forgiveness. When we confess our sins to the Lord and ask His forgiveness, our sins are gone. We have been discussing the subject on how to forgive yourself, and I have suggested that some people are having trouble forgiving themselves because God has not forgiven them. And so my question today is, how can we receive God's forgiveness? I believe there are several biblical steps to receive God's forgiveness. The first of those steps is confession. To really forgive ourselves, we must recognize and deal with the sin problem. Several years ago, a book was written entitled, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And the premise of that book was that everyone was okay as they are. The trouble is, that's not true. Because we know that there is a part of us that has sinned, and there's another part of us that knows we have sinned. Forgiveness only comes as we face the truth of our sins. The Episcopal Confession of Faith says, we have done those things we ought not to have done. We have left undone those things we ought to have done, and there is no health in us. That statement is true. Every person on earth sins every day in one of three ways. First of all, sins of commission. I commit sins by transgressing the commandments of God. Secondly, I sin with sins of omission. There are things I should have done that I did not do. And thirdly, I sin by committing sins of disposition. These are the sins I commit in my heart. You remember Jesus said that if you lusted after a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Sin is a serious thing. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And later on in verse 10 he says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. The Apostle John said, if we deny we have a sin nature, we're only deceiving ourselves. We're not fooling God nor anyone else that knows us. If you think that you are without sin, let me ask your husband or your wife, those you work with, or those you go to school with. I am positive they will tell a different story. John also said that if you or I say that we have not committed any acts of sin, we are calling God a liar because God has said that all men are sinners. Jesus had a word for those who hide behind a mask and fail to admit their sins and shortcomings. He called them hypocrites. To confess your sins means to admit, to concede, or to acknowledge them. David wrote in the 51st Psalm, I acknowledged my transgressions. And in the 32nd Psalm, David said, for day and night your hand, Lord, was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David's response to his sin was to go to God with that sin and admit his guilt. He held nothing back and acknowledged it all, and God's response was not only forgive the sin, but also deal with the guilt. Remember those wonderful words of John. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now this promise is a conditional promise. To receive the promise of forgiveness, we must confess our sin. If there is no confession, there is no forgiveness. Listen to the words of warning by the Lord. He will not come to us until we confess our sin. The prophet Hosea, chapter 5 and verse 15 said, then will I go back to my place until they admit their guilt. God wants us to confess our sins because He knows what guilt is doing to us. And the first step in receiving forgiveness is confession of our sin. The second step in receiving God's forgiveness is repentance. I know a lot of people who confess their sin, but unless there is repentance, there will be no forgiveness. Confession must be followed by repentance. The Bible teaches that men are to repent. The first message that Jesus preached was that men need to repent. In Matthew 4:17, the Scripture says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The last message that Jesus preached was that men needed to repent. In Revelation 3:19, The scriptures say, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." There are two basic usages of the word repent in the scriptures. The Hebrew word means to be penitent or to be sorry. And also a second Hebrew word means to turn back. The latter usage definitely implies a change of direction. Likewise, the Greek New Testament has two such usages. One Greek word means to be concerned or sorry, and the second Greek word means to have another mind or to change one's mind. And so the basic idea behind the concept of repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction and evidences itself in a change of action. If there is no change in the way you're living, I would seriously question whether you've really repented. In summary, repentance is not being sorry you got caught. It is not being sorry that others have rejected you. It is not being sorry that your reputation has been damaged. It is not being sorry that you've lost your money or your possessions. It is not being sorry that you've hurt someone or been hurt. Repentance is this. Repentance is confessing pride and then grieving over your heart's condition. Repentance is confessing that you have resisted the grace of God. Repentance is confessing that God's name has been blasphemed by the enemy because of your actions. Repentance is confessing that you've been following your own desires. Repentance is confessing that you've been a stumbling block to others. Listen to what Bill Gothard says about repentance. Repentance is a work of God's Spirit in our spirit. It is a godly sorrow for violating God's holy standards. True repentance is a clear awareness that we have been our own boss. It is far more than being sorry for the resulting consequences of our actions. True repentance goes far beyond human reasoning. It must so affect our spirit that our motives are cleansed and our desire is to bring glory to God despite the cost. It is responding as we would in the presence of a holy God and realizing the awesome seriousness of violating His word. The process and outward evidences of true repentance are explained by James in James 4, verse 6 and following. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Heed the warning of the prophet of old. Ezekiel said in chapter 18 and verse 30, "Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall." The second step in receiving God's forgiveness is repentance. And now let's talk about forgiveness itself. Of the 14,388 different words found in the Bible, the sweetest word other than the name Jesus is the word forgiveness. When we confess our sins to the Lord and ask His forgiveness, our sins are gone. Listen to what the Bible says that God has done with our confessed sins. In Micah chapter 7, God says that He'll hurl all of our sins into the depths of the sea. In Isaiah chapter 38, God says He's put our sins behind His back. In Isaiah 43 and Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews chapter 8, God says that He will remember our sins no more. And in John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We must understand that when we confess and repent of our sins, the highest judge in the universe has forgiven us, God Himself, so we must forgive ourselves. Many of us are forgiven by God, but go on feeling guilty because we have not forgiven ourselves. At this point, I would ask you, do you really understand that God stands willing to forgive all your sins if you will only ask? If you've asked God for forgiveness, then I would like to ask you, why don't you believe that God has forgiven you? Remember this, you have no right to remember what God has already forgotten, and you have no right to forget what God still remembers. Whenever I meet someone who cannot forgive themselves, I usually say something like this. I call their name and tell them, "You have prayed for forgiveness long enough. God is not deaf. He has heard and answered each one of your prayers. It's time to finish this thing." Each time you are reminded of your sin, instead of feeling guilty and asking for forgiveness, I want you to praise God for the forgiveness you've already received. You have prayed for forgiveness and it has been received. Now you are to praise God for that forgiveness. There are two kinds of guilt, true guilt and false guilt. If you have true guilt, its source is the Holy Spirit and it is removed when you confess and repent of your sin. If you confess and repent of a sin and still carry a load of guilt, this guilt is false guilt, and the source of this guilt is the devil.